Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shleisha Asa, the 13th Perek in Hilchas Ishas and the Laws of Marriage, in the Sefer Nashim, the Book of Women, from the Rambam, where the Rambam continues from the theme of the previous Perek, discussing the husband's obligations when he gets married, which that's the trajectory that these Halachas of Ishas have been going in regards to that of marriage. And we're in the discussion of the three of the 10 that were biblical, Sheer Ksus V'Aina. Specifically, we're going to be discussing that of the obligation of him to clothe her. The previous Perek spoke about Sheer, the obligation to feed her. Here we're talking about that of Ksus, of clothing her, which includes providing certain utensils, and that of a dwelling place. Some of these we're going to discuss in today's Perek is the idea about Ksus, the biblical obligation for the husband to provide the woman's clothing, the dira, the dwelling place, the klei habayis, the utensils that she needs to use, which the husband's obligated both for his wife and for his banav benayis v'ketanim, for his minor children. Additionally, we're going to speak about hidroi, so if he makes a neder, that if regarding not having her to get dressed up and have jewelry, where if she can't go ahead and visit relatives, regarding a case where a husband refuses to dwell in a certain place of dira because of prutzim, people that are inappropriate. We discussed shalosh haratzis, three different lands in Eretz Yisrael as they apply to the laws of marriage. And also, if we force the woman to go out with her husband, lamakam shayirtza, to the place that he wants to go out and live. So we begin, halacha aleph, which the Rambam first qualified this biblical obligation of ksus, of the husband providing for his wife with garments, with clothing. Says the Rambam, halacha aleph, kama ksus, how much is the clothing? Shulchayv litla, the million-dollar question. How much clothing does a woman have to get from her husband that has to provide for her? Says the Ram like this. Begadim shel chamishim zuz mishan l'shana. It's garments worth 50 zuz from year to year. And we explained already in the previous parak how much is a zuz. Mimatbeya eis mayam. But specifically, when we say zuz, we mean the currency that was in Talmudic times, which the Chacham, when they were Mesakeh this, Shenimtzu, which actually comes out, HaChamishim, these 50 Zuz, are actually Shisha Dinarim Revia Dinar Kesef. It's actually 6.25 silver dinarim, that's pure silver. Because, as Ram had previously explained in Perek Yud HaLocha Hei, that the coins in those days were 7 parts copper to 1 part silver. So it comes out really that it was 1/8 of a silver dinar. And therefore, the 50 regular dinar is only 6.25 silver dinar. Now, so that's the 50 he has to give over the year. Now, he gives her the new clothing in the winter, when the winter is starting. And v'levesh is b'loy same, and she wears it when it's a little bit more old, worn out, in the summer months, because new garments are very hot. And that's good in the summertime. But it's actually difficult in the summertime. In the summertime, it's already a little bit worn out. It's a little bit more lighter. So you give it new in the winter, and then she uses it when it's a little bit older in the summer. Now, vashchakim, the totally worn out clothing, the haim, moisak sos, and there the leftovers of the garments, which totally got worn out. So in contrast to the food, when we say the leftovers, that goes back to the husband, he harim shalah. The worn out garments, you call the shmata type of garments, they're haz, because they should discuss them and be made to dust. So these old, worn out, fashimel to garments, she keeps it because she's going to wear it when she's in a menstruating state, because she shouldn't be disgraced in her husband's eyes that she's going to wear the same garments when she's permitted to him as she did when she was menstruating. So she keeps those garments for those times. Also, now he gives her a belt for her loins, for her waist. The kibbutz of Rashi has to give her a cap, a covering for her head, and shoes from yamtiv to yamtiv. Halacha base. Says the Rambam, when do we say this exactly as we qualified in the previous halacha? Is Bais Nayim, where in those days, first of all, in the previous times, meaning in the Talmudic times, Eretz Yisrael, also in specifically in Eretz Yisrael, Abishazman, but regarding other times, Ushama comes in other places, in the Dam Iker. So that's not, the monies that they decided in the Talmud is not primary. Because Yesh Mekayim, Yishama Begon Biyakar, but there could be some place that garments, clothing costs a lot. Or Bezolhar, but could be actually very cheap. So, Ella rather, the primary definition that we rely on is that we require him to give her clothing, that's appropriate for the winter, and for the summer. Now, the minimum is the minimum is that most that what regular women wear in that country, in that city, and at that time, that's the obligation that he has to provide for his wife. Now, Allah gimel, now including the category. As we spoke about in the previous paragraph, what's included in mezainis, in food, there's other things in that, there are subcategories, including the obligation to provide her for clothing, includes klevayis, includes household utensils, umadur sheyeshevez by a house where she could dwell in. That's all included in ksus, in the covering. Because that's not, you don't just cover yourself with your clothing, you cover yourself with a house. And Now, umohim klei bayis, and what's included in household utensils? Armitu mutzas is a bed with its bedspread. Umapitz is a type of a thick mat, which like that, a mat made out of reeds. Oymachzeles, or a woven rug, leishavala, to sit on. So just have a couch, a chair. Uchle achilo shtia, also tools for eating and drinking, kedera, like a bowl, a ka'ara, and a plate, a case, and a cup, a bakbuk, and a bottle, kezbem, things like that, regular household things. But mother, regarding the dwelling place, shaseichel abayis, has to at least rent for her a house, shal dalat amas al dal amas. That's at least 4 amas squared, but that's the minimum of being considered as a bayis. And v'tiyu rechava, there also has to be a courtyard. The word rechava that's the Talmudic terminology for a chatzer. That's chutzla, that's outside of her house, but that she could utilize that area. So that's included in the basic obligations. And also, there should be a lavatory that's outside of the house that she could use to relieve herself. We also obligate him to give her ornaments, jewelry. For example, big tzivainen, colorful garments, lahakva reisha ufatachta, to cover her head and her forehead, ufuch, which is a type of a dye that women dye their cheeks, and vesarok, it's a red dye that they use for actually the puch is actually a type of eye makeup, and vesarok is a red dye that they use for their cheeks, which is called rouge. Okay, it's been things like that. That she shouldn't be unattractive to him, be disgraced. He's obligated to go ahead and have her what she could go and use and get dressed up with. Now, halachahe, as we said regarding sustenance, it's on a sliding scale. But then from when we say these minimums, is ba'an ishav yisrael, a pauper in the Jewish people. A ba'ashav is a wealthy person, not kolav yashav, everything goes according to his wealth, according to his financial ability. And therefore, v'afil ha'yiro liknis lo klei meshi. And even if he's able to, because he's got money, to buy for her silk garments, v'rikma, and embroidered garments, or klei zav, and golden utensils, and we force him, and he has to give it. V'chen ha'matl v'yashay. So to the dwelling place, the house that he has to provide for, also according to his wealth. V'atachshut u'chlei bayis. So to the ornaments and the household items, ha'kol v'yashay, everything has to go according to his wealth. Now, the other extreme, v'mkatsu yadilit ma'afil ha'onish b'sol, if he's not able to afford even what we had said is the lowest of the paupers in the Jewish people, then we force him to divorce her, and then obviously he doesn't have money, so he can't pay up the ksuba right now. It'll be a debt on him until he gets wealthy, and then he can pay up the ksuba. Now, halacha vav, as we said regarding mezainis, now this obligation of providing for ksus, which has all these subcategories, not only for the woman, also for his sons and daughters that are minors, that are under the age of 6, he has to give them clothing and dwelling that's sufficient for them, because as the Rambam is going to say, we equate clothing with that of mezainis, which we said is obligated for under the age of 6. That includes the utilities that they need to use and regarding a dwelling place to live in. Now, v'einu nislam lefi ashray, but he does not give them according to his wealth. That for his children is only according to what is necessary. Exactly, this is the rule. Komish ishlei l'mazaynis, any person that has an obligation to feed, whether when he's alive, or whether after he passed away, for example, his wife and his daughters until they get engaged, then yeshlei ksus, included in that, not only do they have to feed them, but he has to provide for them clothing, chlei bayis, and household items, a mother and dwelling place. And any person that the courts actually sell his estate to give them sustenance, again, so do they sell his estate to provide for garments and for household items and for dwelling place, again, because we equate those two halachas, that of mezainis, to that of ksus. Halacha zayin. Aisha shalach ba'ala. So too, if a woman that her husband went away, upaskala bezna mezainis, and the courts went and designated for her sustenance, uchsus, and garments, uchle bayis, and household items, uschar mother, and the rent for her dwelling. But one thing that's not included is, although it's one of the husband's obligations, as we said before, they don't designate for her an amount for jewelry, for makeup and things like that. Why? There's no husband for her to get dressed up for. Like we said, the whole reason why he has to provide is that she shouldn't be unattractive to him, but he's not around. So therefore there's no obligation to get dressed up. The primary reason the woman's getting dressed up is what the ideal is. It's for the husband, and he's not around. But regarding if the husband came mentally deranged or became a deaf mute, then Paiskin Latachshon, then actually we still provide, we designate, and again, when we're saying the ideal is the husband, especially if we're taking it from his estate, is we do designate money for her to have to get dressed up, because we evaluate the husband. Had he been sane, he wouldn't want his wife to be unattractive. So therefore, we provide. Now, in contrast, when he leaves on the business trip, since he went out willingly and he didn't say to leave over money for her to get makeup and all those things, so obviously he revealed that he doesn't care about that. And again, we don't force it because he's not here that she should be unattractive. Now, says the Rambam, v'din haba l'mishtoi. Now, the law of the husband with his wife, b'tainis haksus by kelim moschar mother, when she claims regarding her clothing, regarding the vessel, the utensils, and regarding the rent for her apartment, kedina b'tainis amazainis, they have the same halacha as a claim regarding sustenance. In other words, imam bahu nesadi, he says, I gave. The Yemesh says, loy nesadi, you didn't give. Dinech lakol, it has all the same halacha as we said in the previous parak beis, which we spoke about, litigation between the two of them, when he says, she says, so the same halacha that we apply regarding mazainis would apply regarding that of the garments, because they have equivalent halachas. Now the Rambam moves on here in the halacha ches, regarding if the husband doesn't provide his wife the jewelry and the hygiene obligations that he has towards her, which these halachas are known as hamadr. The way he's preventing is he takes a vow. So halacha ches says Rambam hamadr is ishtoi. If a man takes a vow on his wife, that she should not be able to go ahead and beautify herself with whatever one of the types of ways that she does. Well, he says, if you're going to go ahead and put on that makeup or that jewelry, you're going to be forbidden to have benefit from me, which is essentially putting in a state of a vow. So it depends. But if we're talking about poor people, which she doesn't really get dressed up that often anyway. So for a period of a year, she could hold out and they'll stay married. But yes, like if it's going to go on more than a year, either he has to nullify his vow, permitted, or he has to be in ksuba, or he has to divorce and give her a ksuba. Now, Vashir is regarding a wealthy woman. Only for 30 days are they going to have to stay married. But yes, I can, more than that, Yates Nidri has to permit his neder, or he has to be in ksuba, or he has to go out and give her a ksuba, because a wealthy woman, she's always getting dressed up, and always has a party, and therefore for 30 days she could survive, but more than that, he's got to go ahead and either mata neder or give her the ksuba. Halacha test. Similarly, he dirishly teil chamerchas. Let's say he makes a vow, forbidding her from going ahead to the bathhouse. So big krachim by the large cities, which they're always showering and bathing. So Shabbos achas, 1 week, and that's it. Bikfarim, villages, shnei shabbosis. They're not so much into personal hygiene. They can last up until 2 weeks. Let's say shaloi tino mil. Let's say he makes a vow that she shouldn't be wearing shoes. So bikfarim in villages, gimel yom. Because they're not so much into that type of etiquette, they could last 3 days. But in the cities, in Meisleis, the max is going to be a period of 24 hours. But yes, let's say, more than any of these times for whatever the neder is and for whatever the location is, Yates neder again, he has to either permit and undo his vow, or he has to go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuba. Now that Ram moves on to other nedarim that he took on her, where he holds back other things, that of interpersonal, social relationships. Halacha yud. Let's say he took a vow on her, Shleitishal, that she shouldn't borrow, overleitashal, she shouldn't lend miklei habayis from household items. Shderech kol hashcheinis, the way it normally is, all the woman neighbors, lishalayisam lashilam, they borrow, they lend. For example, let's say nafa, a sifter, a chvaro, or a sieve, where a sifter is for flour, a sieve is to clean out the grain. Or rechayim v'tanu, to borrow the mill, or an oven, the ketzim, all things that are similar like that, which people usually do borrow and lend. If he took such a vow, either Yates Nidra, he has to permit the nether, or Yitzvi Niksuba, or he has to go ahead and give her a divorce and give her the Ksuba. Neshem Asiyah, Shem Ram B'Shchon, this is giving her a bad name in the neighbor, amongst her neighbors, because they're saying that she's stingy, she's miserly. V'chein so too, if let's say she took the vow, Shleit Tishel, Bloit Tashel, that she's not going to borrow, she's not going to lend, Nofo, Chvara, Sifta, Siv, Rechayim, Etana, Mil, Noven, Kizvim, things like that. Over Shleit Tech Begodim, Norm Labon, or she took a vow, she's not going to weave, embroider beautiful garments for her kids. But Malkum Shatarkan Lar Gazalman, where all the mothers do that for their sons. Tatum like Ksuba, he divorces her without giving her Ksuba. She's giving him a bad name in the neighborhood. That he's a miser. That this family, they don't lend. And he's like, well, what's my wife doing? So he could divorce her without a Ksuba. Halachi Rav. Malkum Shadarkan Shalay Tetsi Isha, in a place where the custom is that a woman does not go out Lashok outside to the street by Kippa Shal Rish Lavad, she doesn't just go out with a head covering, which is the obligation, on her head. No. She goes out something more extreme. Actually, she goes out with a cloak, hachayif is called gufa, that covers her whole body, k'may talis like a cloak. Then noisla, he has to give her, in this obligation of a garment, he has to give her this cloak, the minimum cloak of all the cloaks. That's the minimum he's got to give her, because that's the custom that women usually do. He can't say, oh, I don't have to. If this is what people do, then he has to provide for that. Now, the Mahoya Ashur is wealthy. He has to give according to his financial ability. Because if she doesn't have this, she's not going out. Even halachically, she's allowed to. She's not, because no woman does that. You have to know what women's needs are. And she needs this cloak. That she could go to her father's house, or if there's a shiva house, a house of mourning, or to a simcha, a house of rejoicing. As the Rambam says, Lefisha kol isha, because every single woman, yeshla lotzis v'leilich, she has to be able to come and go, lebeis avia, levaka, to go to her father's house, to visit him, lebeis avol, or to house of mourning, lebeis mishta, a simcha, ligmul chesed, to do favors, l'reisah, to her friends, or the krebisah, or to her relatives, k'deisha v'heim lot, that they should come back to her. She ain't lebeis ha-sayer, because the Rambam says, she's not in jail, actually, teitz l'tabit, that she shouldn't be able to leave and come. So, you have to be able to give her this cloak, because if that's how women usually leave, she's not going out without that. So you're basically locking her up, and women need that social interaction. But the Rambam does point out, but it is disgraceful for a woman. She's always going out of the house, sometimes outside, sometimes in the streets. And a husband should refrain his wife from doing this. But let's not let her just go out, rather like once a month, or like twice a month, according to what's necessary. And again, this is obviously the way the Rambam is defining it regarding the relativity about what's considered appropriate and normal. And he's saying that, you know, according to what's necessary, but not more. She shouldn't just be always gallivanting out. As the Rambam says, she'ing yefil isha, there's nothing more attractive for a woman. Elalation bezavas besa, to be what he calls the corners of her house. It means to say that she's in the house with the family, shakach kasev, because that's what's written in pasuk and tell him, hey, kol kavud bas melech, the dignity of the princess, of the daughter of the king, is panimis inside. You don't see her gallivanting outside. She's with the king, with the family, in the castle. And so too is what a Jewish home is, and that's what's most appropriate for the Jewish woman. Halachid beis, hamadres ishtoi shleitelcha beis aviyah. If, again, continuing this theme that he's taking a vow on his wife, that she shouldn't go to her father's household. So it depends. If the father lives in the same city, so the max is that they have to wait for the husband to fix his ways, is that of a month. Because maybe during that month he'll be matter the nether. Shnayim, which is already the first day of the second month, he has to go out and divorce her and give her her ksuba, because more than a month, the woman cannot hold herself back and not be able to go to her family, to her father's household. Now, but if the father lives in another city, then regal echad mamtin lay, then they wait for him one yamtiv, because the norm is to go on yamtivim, to go to the in-laws, to her father's household. So one yamtiv, they could wait. Shnayim, but if it's already two yamtivim, yetivin ksuba, he has to go out and give her a ksuba. Again, he's holding her back from the basic needs that a woman needs. Halacha yud gimel. Hamadris ishtay, if someone takes a vow on his wife, shleitecha beis avol, that she's not able to go to a shiva house, or beis mishra, or a simcha, or yatzis nidra, either he has to permit his nether, or he has to be in ksuba again, or he has to go out and divorce and give her ksuba. As he says, shezeke misha asar beis asara, it's like he's locking her up in jail, but no bif nan, he's locking the door. He's putting her in jail and locking the door, because she can't go to simcha, she can't go to shiva. Now, if the husband was claiming, it's because of indecent people that they're engaged in promiscuous and illicit types of relationships. Because the place of the shavas you're going to, there's indecent people over there. Oh, if you that simcha, it's not appropriate. And yes, we know this to be the case, that to establish that there are indecent people over there, then we do listen to him, and we don't force him to matzah neder or to divorce and give the ksuba. Now, halacha yadal. If someone says to his wife, "Ein ritzayin yishivo levesi, I don't want that people should be coming to my house. Avich, your father, ve'imich, your mother, achayich, your brother, v'chasech, your sisters. I can't deal with them. I don't want them coming to my house." So shleimalei. So we listen to the husband. V'tia, and it should be that he ha'leches lem, she'll go to them, k'shi'er lem davo, when they have something that's going on. A simcha, a tzara. She can go to them, and he could put his foot down and say, "I don't want them coming to my house." And v'teilech ha'beis avi ha'pam b'chedesh, and once a month, like we said, which is appropriate, she'll go to her father's household, v'chol regal, every single yamtiv. But v'lo yikam to him lo, but she's not going to bring them into her house. Elam ir ladav, unless something happens to his wife, kugun chayli or leida, if she becomes sick or she gave birth, then he has to allow them to come visit her. But in general, he could put his foot down and says, I don't want your relatives coming to my house. Why? Because you can't force a person. She comes to him so that other people should come in their domain. This is my space. I don't want people coming over here. And B'chein Hisham, the same thing works the other way around. The other side of the aisle. If she says, she comes to him, I don't want that they should come to me. Imcha, your mother, B'chisecha, your sisters. I don't want to live with them in the same courtyard. They bother me, they torment me. So we listen to her. We don't force a person that people should be living with them in their area. Now, interestingly, the Meister Kech points out that it starts off with, she says, I don't want them to be konsu elai, which means just to come in. And it ends off because you can't force a person, because that's how women are. They're just coming to visit for a moment, and then before you know it, they're there many different hours. And therefore, that's why you don't force a person, they're just coming to say hi, they're going to be here for a few hours, I'm not comfortable with them coming. Now the Ravid, however, he says that we only say this halacha regarding the last point regarding the woman only if his sister and his mother are moving into their neighborhood. But if, let's say, the new couple moved into the mother and to the sister-in-law's neighborhood, then we don't force them to leave because of her, even if it's the husband's estate, because since they were there first. Now, but however, we do obviously ask them not to bother her. But in contrast, the Magen Mishnah actually says that no, a person cannot live with a snake in one box. And if it seems to the courts that they're causing strife with her husband, because of them, the laws are with her. Which Drama and Ebenezer, he says that the minig is that what you should do is, okay, live there for some time with a third party to verify who's causing the fights. And then we'll go based on that. And if it's true that they're causing, again, they'll be at fault and he could go ahead and have to eject them because of his obligations to his wife. Now, continuing with halacha tezvav, what's with the moving from houses? So Ish Amar, if a man says, I can't live in this house anymore. There's bad people over here, prutzim, there's indecent people, there's the non-Jews in my neighborhood. I'm afraid of them. So Shemile, we listen to him. Even though it wasn't established that there's pretzes, that there's indecency over here, but if this is what he's saying, we listen to him, because this is what the sages commanded in Masechtas Avos in the first parak, stay very far away from a bad neighbor. So if he's saying, I don't like the neighborhood, we listen to him. Now, the full hoya mother shalom, and this is even if it was her apartment, he moved into her apartment. We remove her from that apartment, the couple, meaning we listen to him, and they go and live in the neighborhood amongst upstanding people. If she says the same thing, even though he's saying, I don't care about what do you mean, big deal about the neighbors? We listen to her. Because she says, I don't want to get a bad reputation, bad name, living amongst these bad neighbors. Everyone says, oh, in that place, in that development, in that town, oh, that's what I don't want that reputation. And we listen to her, and they have to move. Now, halacha tezayin, kala yishuv, all settlements, aratzesu, are different lands, there's different areas. For example, Eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan, Eretz Israel, Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, Eretz Taman, the land of Yemen, Eretz Kush, the land of Ethiopia, Eretz Shinar, the land of Babel, Kitzman, and so on and so forth. All these places have different names, different countries. Now, B'chol Eretz V'Eretz, and every single land is also Mimedinais. There's also large cities which are surrounded with walls, a farm, and there's villages. V'ar Yisrael, now, the cities of Eretz Yisrael, Le'inyan Nisuin, regarding the laws of marriage, Shalash Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael is divided up into three different parts as it relates to the laws of marriage. Yehuda, which is the area of Judea, Beva Yarden, Transjordan, other side of Jordan, Magalil, and the Galilee, which is upper north. Now, says the Rambam Halacha Yedzayin, says, Ish Shahayim Me'eretz Menaratzis, if a man was from one of these lands, V'nasi Ish Me'eretz Achaz, he marries a woman from another country. Kaifin Aysa, we force her, the Yaitzi Yimayla Aratzai, and she goes with him to his land. Aytetzim L'Ksuba, or she has to live without L'Ksuba. Shamanas came to Sub, because it was with this that he had in mind, that he married her, Af Abishle Pirish, even if it didn't specify. Avala Nasi Ish Me'eretz Menaratzis, but let's say he marries a woman from one of the lands, whatever country it is. The he or the gear says, but who? And he actually is from the same country. Then he can't force her to say, oh, where I go is where you go. No, it's only if he was from a different country, that was the presumption. But if they both from that country, he can't force her to have to move to another country. Avil, but Medina. He can force her to go from one city to another city, or from one village to another village, vice arts in that same country. But he cannot force her to leave from a city to a village, but not from a village to a city. Why? Sheyesh Dram, there are certain things, Sheyeshivas HaMadina Tevelhem, that it's better to live in the city. Vesh Dram Sheyeshivas HaKram Tevelhem, but there are certain things that are better to live in a village. Urban, suburban, each one has a benefit. And therefore, if you were in a certain type, you cannot force her to move from one to another type. But if it's the same type, you can force her to go to another of that same type in the same country. Now, halacha yitches. Uksha meitzia mimedina medina. But okay, so if you're taking her from one city to another city, from one village to another village, ba'isar, it's in that same land which she's allowed to, but in yachalitzia, but he cannot take her out minava hayafa from a good area, linava hara to a bad area, v'loimera liyafa, and not from a bad one to a good one. Well, why wouldn't you be able to take her from a bad to a good one? As the Rambam explains. Meshe tzricha lihitapel, because now she's going to have to be involved, v'liv de gazma, to check herself, but minava hayafa, when she moves into a more upscale neighborhood, so although it's better, but now she has to live up with the Joneses. She has to live up to that status. She has to be constantly dressing herself up. Before she goes out, she can't just wear a snoot. She's got to get all dressed up. Kedishlei tibay kalo chur. So it shouldn't be light and disgraced because, you know, it's a more uppity neighborhood. V'chein le'yitzia mimakam shiru b'Yisrael l'makam shiru b'goyim. You also cannot take her out from an area that the majority were Jews to an area that the majority are non-Jews. Now, uvachom makam. Now, whatever the situation is, even if he's going from a nicer neighborhood to a poor neighborhood, so you could take her out from a neighborhood that majority are non-Jews to a majority that is a Jewish neighborhood, even though the area is not as nice, which generally you cannot do, but it's from to a place to go to majority Jews that he's allowed to do. Now, the final part the Rambam says is regarding making Aliyah, going up to Eretz Yisrael. So says Rambam Halacha Yitzhaz Bamed, when did we say this idea that we're differentiating between if it's a city, what type of city, a nicer place to not so nice, majority Jews, majority non-Jews, that we made differentiations, is only mechutzlatz lechutzlatz, from one country or one city from that's out of Eretz Yisrael to another place, or in Eretz Yisrael proper itself. That's where it's going to depend on all those factors. Aval, but with this one trump, mechutzlatz le'Eretz Yisrael, if he wants to move them from out of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, kaifin le'Eretz Yisrael, we force her to go up with him, even from a beautiful apartment to a not so beautiful apartment, even from an area the majority are Jews, to a place in Eretz Yisrael the majority are non-Jews, Malin, we force her to go. Now, and so to the other way, we don't leave from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, we don't force to go out, even though in Eretz Yisrael they have a dilapidated apartment and bad area, and where they could go out of Eretz Yisrael has a beautiful area. Even if the majority are non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, to a beautiful Jewish populated area out of Eretz Yisrael, we don't take out, again, because of Eretz Yisrael trumps it all. Now, halacha chaf. Amar ish lalas l'Eretz Yisrael. Let's say the husband says, I want to make aliyah, we want to go up to Eretz Yisrael. The in Eretz Yisrael doesn't want to. So, taste like ksuba. He can divorce her without a ksuba. Let's say Amar hilalas. Let's say she says she wants to go. But when in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't want to go. So Yaitiv eating ksuba, she could demand a divorce, and he has to give it the ksuba. Same thing applies to anywhere in Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim. Shakoil, because everyone, whether it be the man or the woman, Mal in Eretz Yisrael could force the move to Eretz Yisrael, and also none of them, not the husband, not the wife, could force them to leave. And also Hakol Mal in Yerushalayim, everyone could force the spouse to go up to Yerushalayim, even if they're living somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. And neither one of the spouses could force them to move out of Yerushalayim because of the beauty and the maila of living Yerushalayim over the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and also Eretz Yisrael over that of the rest of the world. Shalom b'zeicha to all live there in Yerushalayim with Mashiach. Tzidkenu v'amenu amen.